TV set all night
and every day.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do.
Hello and welcome to TV Times 3, episode number 17. I'm Ray from ramblingsofatvwhore.com.
I'm Jason the TVaholic from tvaholic.com.
And I'm Emery from mytakeontv.com.
I almost forgot my website.
I was going to say, Ray, did you almost forget to say? Because I could tell there was hesitation in your voice.
Not just not say it, I was like, from, where am I from? Okay, sorry. Then I had to hold my laugh in because I started to laugh. Anyway, hi.
Hello.
Okay.
And more important news.
What?
This is the first podcast where Emery has a real headset and will not have any in and out issues.
That's what she said.
There you go. I set him up. You put him down.
We're all very happy about Emery having a real headset. Now we don't have to wonder if Amory just got mad at us and just stopped talking to us. Anyway, do we have any news?
I didn't know if anybody was going to start. Was somebody going to start? Okay, I'll just jump right in here.
Okay, good.
So fans of The Middleman, which I am. I was a huge fan of that show. I loved it. We are going to get, we didn't really get any closure on the show because it was kind of left open-ended for the end of the season and kind of knew that it wasn't going to come back, but didn't really have time to whatever.
Right.
So this summer, they're putting out a DVD of the first season or the full season, and it's going to have a series finale graphic novel.
Is it going to be with the DVD or are they just going to release the graphic novel separately?
It sounded like it's going to be with the DVD and it's going to be released in time for Comic-Con 2009.
That'd be fun.
Yes, it would.
Good. I mean, not would, it will be fun. I'm sad that we're not getting any more of it, but I think we all knew that, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too bad, but...
It was kind of too quirky. Maybe on sci-fi it would have been better. I don't know.
I think it took too long to get what it was for the, I don't know, don't want to say the average audience, but, you know, to garner a larger audience.
That's probably true. Anything else? All I have is the Paley Festival lineup is out.
Fringe is going to be there in the last three episodes of Pushing Daisies.
That's right. Dr. Horrible.
Yeah, it's full of shows that either have never been on TV or are no longer on TV.
Or will probably not be on TV by the time it comes to be.
We don't need to say that.
I love that you knew exactly what I was talking about.
Taking a veiled shot at Dollhouse.
I don't think it's necessarily true, but yes, Paley, that's April, I think it starts April 10th, goes through the 24th.
Is that the thing? Okay, here's the thing. That's the weekend of Easter.
Is it?
Yeah.
That last one is the weekend of Easter?
No, the first one.
Huh. That could cause a slight problem for me.
Well, unless I'm looking at the calendar wrong. I could totally be. But
do you often look at the calendar wrong?
You'd be surprised. You would be surprised.
I hadn't noticed. That is kind of odd that they would do that. I mean, I guess I'm not totally surprised, but it is kind of odd that they would do that. You're correct. The 12th is Easter.
What's on the 12th? Do you have a list there?
April 12th. There's nothing on the 12th. It's Always Sunny is on the 10th. 90210 is on the 11th, because that's always a good lead up to Easter.
Yeah, absolutely.
True Blood is on the 13th, and then Dr. Horrible is on the 14th. Dollhouse is on the 15th. The Big Bang Theory is on the 16th. The Mentalist is on the 17th. Desperate Housewives is on the 18th. Oh, the unaired Pushing Daisies episodes are happening on the 19th, which is a Sunday, like the Sunday after Easter. Then Battlestar and Caprica, The Hills, Big Love, Fringe, and Swingtown finish it out the next week. So there's nothing on Easter itself, but there are a couple things right before.
Interesting.
But that's fine with me. Everything I want to go to is happening after. That next week is when my things are happening.
Excellent. Anything else in the news?
No, the only other thing I have written down is Kristen Bell is going to be on Party Down. She's actually going to be on the season finale of Party Down.
Excellent.
That's all I got.
Awesome. We're so exciting today.
I know. Anybody else have any news? No?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, let's move on to our topic of the week, which is a spring TV preview. And I'm hoping that Jason has that lineup for you.
I do. Let's see. Starting with Sunday on the network TV, everything is pretty much the same, except for NBC will be premiering Kings on, let's see, March 15th and Celebrity Apprentice on March 1st. Let's see, in April, a new show on Fox, Sit Down, Shut Up, will be April 19th. It'll be taking over for King of the Hill and the King of the Hill slot. So there's not so much different on network TV.
Is Sit Down, Shut Up an animated?
Yeah, it's the Arrested Development cast in animated form.
Is it a continuation of one of the other shows? Or am I thinking of the other show, the Cleveland show?
That's the Cleveland show.
Okay. Kings?
Are there cable shows?
Yes. Really, the lot of the new stuff is for Sundays is cable. AMC has Breaking Bad returns on March 8th. And then HBO has the number one ladies' detective agency starting on March 29th. And that'll be followed by a double dose of In Treatment starting April 5th. And also on April 5th, Showtime has The Tudors starting back up. And USA just recently announced that Law & Order Criminal Intent and In Plain Sight will be returning April 19th.
Were they on Sundays before?
I was going to ask that, too. I don't remember them being on Sundays.
No,
they were Law & Order.
Thursdays.
Law & Order Criminal Intent moved. It was on both Thursdays and Sundays at some point in time last year, but In Plain Sight was on Sundays, I'm pretty sure.
Hmm. All right, here's what I'm looking forward to. I've seen the first four episodes of Kings, and while I think that it takes the first four episodes of Kings to be really excited about it, I am really excited about it, and I think it's a good show, and I think people will like it. If they give it time, which is...
If they give it at least 4 weeks?
I mean, I don't even know if they need it. Well, it's only going to be 3 weeks, so that's cool, because the first week is two episodes. So it works like a really good two-hour movie, so that's cool. But I don't know. I think if people watch it and give it time, it will do well. It's only 13 episodes, plus Macaulay Culkin's going to be in the cast, and Kevin McAllister's a huge draw for me. Though, it's important to note that he's not in the first 4 hours that I saw, so I liked it even without him. And I got to meet some of the cast, and I got to hang out with them. Not hang out with them, but I said hello. And I got to visit the set, and it was beautiful.
Amber.
So it makes me more excited about the show, because I got to, like, say hello to Ian McShane and hear him curse at us.
I can imagine that would make you more excited about the show.
Yeah, it's awesome. What else am I excited about? The Tudors. I just recently purchased The Tudors Season 1 and Season 2 on DVD. And did you know that you have to be carded for that show? You have to be 17 or over to buy The Tudors on DVD.
Nice. I mean, I can understand why, but...
Yeah.
Did you watch it before that?
I have watched it, but I didn't have it on DVD. So now I have it on DVD, and I can watch King Henry look beautiful.
He is beautiful. Sorry, I got lost in my...
I got lost in his eyes. It's like a Debbie Gibson song.
I have to be honest, I'm not really excited about any of these Sunday shows. Maybe In Plain Sight. But In Plain Sight was always a show that I liked it when I was watching it, mm-hmm. but I was never excited about watching it. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, they used to just pile up on my DVR, and then all of a sudden I would sit down and, like, I would breeze through them because as I was watching them, I wanted to see the next one. But
right.
I wasn't, like, something I was like, oh my god, I can't wait to sit down and watch it. However, I will say that I only have The Amazing Race on Sunday nights now, so, well... The Amazing Race and L Word. And I don't watch the L Word right away. I watch it on demand. So
mm-hmm.
I only have those things on Sunday night. So I do have some space if I want to try out some of these other shows. I forgot about the ladies number one detective agency. That's based on a set of books. So I'll probably check that out.
But isn't that kind of like, is that kind of like James Patterson's books? Like the Women's Murder Club?
Sort of, but not quite.
Okay.
But I'll check it out because it's HBO and I like the books. So anyway. All right.
Anywho.
Yeah, the only thing, probably of the new stuff, just In Plain Sight, mostly. Not that I'm like hugely excited for it necessarily, but it kind of got good and it was kind of fun towards the end. Once you, I don't know, it was kind of annoying at the beginning, but it developed into something that was worth watching. Okay, on to Monday night. On the network side of things, there will be let's see, the Dancing with the Stars returns with a new cast of dancers on March 9th, And that'll be, it'll run 2 hours for the first few weeks, I guess. And it'll be followed by the series premiere of Castle on the same night, which stars Nathan Fillion and...
My boyfriend.
Man's gotta do what a man's gotta do. I knew, you knew I had to throw it in there as soon as we brought it up.
Captain Hammer. Okay, sorry, Jason.
Go. Anyway.
And then starting April 6th, Surviving Suburbia.
Good for Bob Saget. For him.
We'll be taking over where Samantha Who has been for the last couple seasons.
Is that it?
And let's see, that's... Rules of Engagement will be taking over the worst week as for
March
2nd.
March
2nd. And then...
Yeah, March 2nd. Yes. That's been sitting in my car for like 2 weeks.
And then on the cable side of things on Monday, ABC Family has Greek returns on March 30th. And that'll be followed by two new half-hour sitcoms or comedies, Roommates and Sophie, both starting the week before on March 23rd. Which I believe will follow the season finale of Secret Life of the American Teenager. And then also Saving Grace returns to TNT on March 2nd.
I'm excited about that.
I hear that. Is that it?
That's it for Mondays.
Of all of those, I really only care about Castle. No, that's a lie. I also care about Greek.
So, yeah.
Greek and Castle, those are my two.
I'll watch Castle. I've seen the first episode. I like it. I think it'll be okay. You know what's not going to be? That one of the new shows that starts, Sophie, on ABC Family. It was horrible.
It was so horrible. It was because, I mean, no, even if it was like a drama, which it would still be bad, I think, but... But it's billed as a comedy, and the first episode has nothing funny.
Yeah, it's terrible. What else? Okay, Saving Grace, I'm really excited about, too, because Christina Ricci is going to be in the cast for a little bit, and I love her. I love Christina Ricci. Even though she goes crazy sometimes and plays weird roles, I still love her.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to Saving Grace. I have screener for its return, but I haven't watched it yet. And I'm also looking forward to the return of Greek. And then I really like the first episode of Castle. I think it could be a lot of fun.
Nathan Fillion is just so awesome.
That's my boyfriend.
Nice.
If I say it enough times, it'll be a subliminal message to Nathan Fillion. Yeah.
So Nathan Fillion, if you're listening, Ray totally wants you.
What do you mean if?
He heard about my new microphone. He's like, I got to check that out.
Dan right now would totally be rubbing my face in the fact that Nathan Fillion has rubbed his chest. Anyway, okay, sorry.
Yeah, but it's watching the commercials for it, for Castle, I was like, the commercials didn't really make it come off that well. You're not quite sure about her or him, you know, or the interaction between them and stuff like that. But then when you actually see the first episode, it comes off a lot better, and the dynamic between the two of them is pretty good.
I saw somebody twittered, why does the ABC announcer make it sound like Stana Katic is Angelina Jolie? Like, people don't know who she is. Why is she a big draw?
Yeah, what?
Or do people know who she is? And, like, I'm just...
I don't know. Maybe there's a lot of Librarian fans out there that are just...
Is that where she's from?
That's the only thing I've ever seen her in is the last Librarian flick with Noah Wiley.
Yeah.
Oh, Noah Wiley.
Okay, let's move on to Tuesday.
Okay. On to Tuesday we go. Tuesdays, ABC will have Dancing with the Stars results show starting March 17th, and that will be followed by the redone Cupid on March 31st. And let's see, CBS will stay the same. The CW has Reaper premiering March 3rd, and then that'll be followed by 90210 as of March 31st. And Fox continues with American Idol and Fringe, and NBC is the same as it is now. And then Tuesdays, cable-wise, is the return of Rescue Me on FX as of April 7th. And I also have down WCG Ultimate Gamer, which is, it looks interesting to me for some reason. I have no idea why, but on Sci-Fi Channel as of March 10th. I'm not really into reality shows, but that one looks interesting to me for some reason. And then probably the one that I'm most excited, well, two, I like Cupid, but also excited for the return of My Boys on TBS on March 31st.
And that's going to be back on Tuesdays this year, because wasn't it on Thursdays last year?
It's kind of been all over. I don't know. I wish they could find something to pair up with it, you know, that was, you know, similar to it, so they could do an hour comedy block instead of just kind of having it there by itself. But
yeah. So is that it? Can we start talking about shows?
Yes. That is all that I have for Tuesday nights.
Okay. Cupid, I've seen the first episode, and I used to watch the show in 98. And while I'm excited to see Rob have a lot of shows on TV, I kind of wish it had stayed in 1998. But I'll watch it because I, you know me, you know how much I love Rob.
Uh-huh.
My love, Rob Thomas. That's about it.
I've seen the first episode of Cupid also. And while it's obviously, it's the same premise, obviously, but it's not the same because it doesn't have this, you know, the same people playing the roles.
Mm-hmm.
It comes off a lot different from, I guess, sort of like the romanticized way that I remember it, you know, or,
yeah.
You know, how great because I haven't really seen an episode, you know, any episodes of Cupid forever, the old version of the series. But again, it was, to me, even more so, the commercials that they're showing for Cupid, I was like, really? I mean, it looked dumb to me,
right,
by the commercial. I was really worried about it until I watched it. And then I was like, oh, okay, I like this. He's not bad in this role. You know, he's...
Yeah. Well, I like him a whole lot. I really like Bobby Cannavale. I don't know.
Yep.
Maybe the supporting players weren't what I thought they'd be. I don't know.
Well, yeah, but I didn't think he was good in the commercial, though. The clips that they were showing and stuff like that were like, when you pull them out of context of the show, it makes it, mm-hmm. of what's going on in the episode, it looks really dumb. And so I was like, oh, I don't know. But then when you actually see him in the role, he's not Jeremy Piven, but, you know, it still works, I think.
Yeah. What else is Tuesdays? Tuesday, we're still on Tuesday, right? What else is Tuesdays? Rescue Me. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I cannot believe how excited I am about Rescue Me.
Really?
I love that show. I love that show. I love that show.
Amory.
So do you love that show?
Sorry, I tend to repeat myself when I get excited.
You don't say. I had a question, not related to Rescue Me. Sorry to cut you off.
Are you raising your hand?
yes, if you can see me. Excuse me, I have a question. You mentioned Fringe coming on after American Idol, but it really won't be back till April. What are they playing in the meantime? Are they playing repeats?
Fringe?
What was that again you said?
I said you mentioned Fringe coming on after American Idol, but it won't really be back till April. So what are they playing in the meantime?
In the meantime, they're playing two-hour episodes of American Idol.
Okay. Yeah. That was all I wanted to know, because you said it, like, there'll be Fringe on, but there probably won't be Fringe until April.
Well,
so.
Yeah, I was just kind of looking at the basic schedule. That's where Fringe will be when it comes back.
Gotcha. Okay, that was it for me.
Excellent.
Nothing else on Tuesdays doing anything for me.
Yeah.
So no,
I haven't
no,
seen Cupid, so.
No Reaper fans?
Oh, that's right. Reaper. Sorry. I forgot about Reaper. There were so many things listed on Tuesday.
I bet you the viewers from last year forgot about Reaper, too, and they're going to be like, what? What happened to that show? Where'd that go? And then nobody's going to watch it. Sorry, Brett Harrison.
I'll watch it because there won't be anything else on.
I was going to say, well, Ray, you alone cannot solve world hunger.
And you and the other three of us that aren't watching American Idol...
I don't watch American Idol, so maybe it'll be the three of us watching Reaper because nothing else is on.
I'm just saying. The Mentalist will be on, though.
Oh, I do love me some Simon Baker.
Is Reaper on at 9?
No, Reaper's on at 8.
What's on at 9 on CW?
Is 90210 moving to 9?
Oh, that's right. Never mind.
Yeah.
They're,
never mind that.
They're killing Reaper and trying to save 90210 by moving it out of the...
But you just said...
Out of the way.
AOL.
You just said AI is going to be 2 hours long, so it doesn't really move it out of the way of American Idol.
Yeah, because 90210 doesn't come back till the end of March. And by then, American Idol will be going back. They'll be doing regular size episodes at some point.
American Idol to me is like The Bachelor. Hear me out. How long are they going to keep doing the show before they realize that only like one or two people are... is actually successful.
They'll just keep doing it as long as America watches. What are you talking about?
Yeah, until less than 20-something million people are watching it every time, they'll continue to churn it out.
America, those that are listening, and Canada, I don't know if you watch American Idol. At any rate, please stop. Thank you.
All right, can we move on to Wednesday?
God. Ray, you got somewhere to be?
No. Excuse me. The longer we talk about all of these shows, the less time we have to talk about the others. Okay.
Wednesdays. ABC, Scrubs will be moving to kick off the night as of March 18th, and that'll be followed by a new comedy, Better Off Ted. And then Lost, and then a new series, The Unusuals, as of April 8th. We'll take over for Life on Mars.
Permanently. Sorry, Life on Mars.
And then, let's see, CBS, it will continue to be the same. The CW will have the next cycle of America's Next Top Model, starting as of March 4th, and will be followed by encore performances of 90210. And for right now, it'll be American Idol followed by Lie to Me. But as of March 11th, they're going to be American Idol and Lie to Me will be swapping places. And Lie to Me will start off the night. And then, let's see, also on March 11th, he has a new series, Chopping Block.
Who has a new series?
NBC. It's some food competition reality show thing.
Some rip-off reality show.
It will be taking over the show that shall not be named's time slot.
For good.
And then over on cable, South Park will return on, March 11th, followed by episodes of Reno 911 as of April 1st. And Damages will still be playing on FX. And then, on February 11th, new episodes of Tyler Perry's House of Pain started on TBS, and those will continue to play for a while through the spring. That's all I got Wednesday-wise.
Better Off Ted. Okay. I cannot wait to see more episodes of the show. The first episode I've watched 3 times now. The second episode I've watched 3 times now. I love it. And you know what? America's not going to, and I'm going to be sad when it's over 8 episodes, but I'm going to love those 8 episodes as much as possible because I think it's brilliant.
It is. It's very good. It's sort of, it's sort of in that vein of Arrested Development or, and then it has sort of an office feel to it just because he breaks the fourth wall and actually talks into the camera.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very funny, but I have a feeling that you may be correct and that it may die an early death.
Here's the thing. Okay, Americans that are Arrested Development fans, if you're sad that your show did not last longer, please, 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 please do everything in your power to watch Better Off Ted because it's ridiculous. Let's just give some spoilers. They freeze a dude. They freeze a dude. He's alive. He's alive. They freeze him.
But not only people that liked stuff like Arrested Development, those people that have since found Arrested Development on DVD since it's been canceled and are like, oh my God, the show is the best show ever. Come and watch Better Off Ted.
All my friends who borrowed my DVDs and then were like, oh, hey, why didn't I watch this when it was on? It's your fault it was canceled. Watch something good. I'm very, very impassioned about Better Off Ted.
Yes, you are. I have no comments about anything because I haven't seen any of these. So,
all right, what else is there? What else is there on Wednesdays? Ray, is there anything you were excited about for Wednesday?
No, that's what I just said.
Not even based on promos or things you've heard?
I mean, I'm interested to see Better Off Ted, but I'm not excited about it.
You better be now.
I need to see it before I'm excited about it. So
The Unusuals, they only made available the first 2 parts of the pilot, and I think it might be too quirky for its own good, but I enjoyed it, so I will watch it.
Yeah, I didn't watch since it was just it was just like 15 minutes of it, and I was like, I don't want to watch 15 minutes, and then if I like it, I have to wait forever to see it. But from the commercials, that one actually looks like The Unusuals is a good name for it.
What station is this on?
ABC.
Is that coming on after Lost?
Yes.
Yes, it will be. Although it seems like it would pair up nicely with Better Off Ted because of the unusualness.
Let me say. I don't think any show can follow Lost.
Yeah, there isn't.
It's a show that, like, when I'm done watching Lost, I need to be done watching TV for a little bit because I need to digest. And to put another show that I'm interested in, like Life on Mars, I don't watch until the next day. And I don't know. Like, I just don't think that a show... I think Lost should be on at 9, at 10 o'clock.
Lost should be on at 10? I don't want Lost on at 10, but...
Well, I just don't want a show... Okay, then a mindless show should be on after Lost. So put their freaking... Put a reality show or something after Lost so that you can kind of tune in and not really need to concentrate. That's all I'm saying.
I would agree with that.
I don't know. It really just needs to be something that would draw an audience that is not necessarily the Lost audience. But most people are going to end up watching CSI New York, unfortunately, even though I like that show. But that's going to pull the audience for some reason at 10. And then, whatever show is following Lost it always gets looked upon as you lose a lot of audience or whatever, but it seems to me that it needs to there needs to be something there that'll draw like its own audience, because the people the vast majority of people that are watching Lost are either, you know, there's a good number, they're going online afterwards to talk about what they just saw, and you know, the core audience is not gonna stick around to watch anything. It doesn't matter what's on after there afterwards.
I think that's it for me for Wednesday, though.
Better off Ted.
One more thing.
Remember Better Off Dead.
Scrubs, the fact that ABC is already moving Scrubs, like, come on. That's what they were being punished by over on NBC, and now they're being moved again. Like, come on.
Yeah, moving on. That's true, except that they went and they made the mistake of sort of using it as filler.
Yeah.
As they didn't have anything to put on Tuesday nights in that time period, and they didn't want to start other shows. They could have just put it on Wednesday. It's not like there was anything in that first hour slot on Wednesdays anyways.
Besides just, pushing daisies.
Push the knife in. Well, why don't you?
That's been quite some time, though, since that's been off, I'm saying.
Scrubs in that spot once it was off.
They did.
Yeah, but I mean, they could have waited a little bit and you know, put it on another night or paired it with something else. They could have put it on the first hour or Tuesdays instead of security or whatnot. But they kind of, since they had, I don't know, I guess a full season of episodes, they had to double them up and stuff like that. But
yeah,
I think at least they're leading off the night. I think Scrubs fans will dig Better Off Ted. It kind of has that same fanciful comedic bent to it. So, and, you know, maybe once American Idol moves out of that slot, you know, Scrubs and Better Off Ted could do well up against old Christine and Gary Unmarried.
Fingers crossed. So here's your homework for Wednesday nights in the spring, readers, listeners, whatever you are. Scrubs and Better Off Ted. Thank you.
You know what I just realized?
What?
I'm going to miss the Lost repeats.
You're going to miss them because they have the pop-ups.
I do. I like the pop-ups.
And they give you a little bit more information.
It's that sometimes the pop-ups go in between giving you more information and giving you, like, the duh information, like we're watching that on the screen right now. Thank you.
Right. This is gin. Yeah, we know. Thanks.
Exactly. But what I really like about it is because we're doing these Lost viewings every week. Like, we get together and have a Lost night. We like to watch, like, the repeat because it reminds us of what happened last week. I'm going to miss that.
Right.
Anyway, sorry. That was just it. Can we move on to Thursdays?
I think we've been Wednesday to death.
We have. Okay. Thursdays. ABC, starting March 26th, In the Motherhood will be followed. The new series In the Motherhood will be followed by Samantha Who, taking over for the Ugly Betty time slot for a while. And then on CBS, starting April 9th, Harper's Island will be following CSI, taking over for 11th Hour. NBC, as of April 9th, also, Amy Poehler's new show, Parks and Recreation, will be taking over for the dreadfully awful Kath and Kim. And the night will be also on the 9th of April, Southland will be taking over the ER time slot. On the network side and on Thursdays, let's see, on cable, The Beast may still be playing, will still be playing episodes on A&E. Has a new show that started, well, yesterday as of this recording, but on February 19th, called Being Erica.
Soapnet, right.
And that's it for new stuff on Thursdays.
I'm looking forward to Amy Poehler's show because I do like her. And I like Rashida Jones and I like Chris Pratt and I like Aziz Ansari. So basically it has all the makings of a good show. But let me start by saying this, or end by saying this. I like Molly Shannon and I like Selma Blair and I love John Michael Higgins, whatever his name is. I love them. Their show was horrendous. So let's hope that Parks and Recreation, which I think will be fine because it's Sher and Greg Daniels. I think it'll be fine, but I want to hesitate to say that I'm going to love it right away.
Yeah, I'm not so sure how I feel about it. I'm not a huge Amy Poehler fan, so, but I love everybody else who's involved, so we'll see.
Right.
I haven't really liked these commercials that I've seen of it. Those haven't been all that great, but...
But don't believe the hype.
I'll wait for it to come out and see what it does.
Right.
I'll be happy to see Ugly Betty go for a little while. Maybe that'll make me a little bit more fond of it.
Yep. Yeah, maybe that'll make me stop hating it.
Maybe.
One can hope, anyway.
I am interested in Being Erica, which is actually a Canadian show that's been playing in Canada for several weeks now.
Were you going to say Canada?
No.
Every time the word Canadian, I have trouble saying Canada.
No. It's been playing in Canada for several weeks now. And Jody actually emailed me like 2 weeks ago to tell me about it, that she thinks I would really like it. So I'm going to catch it on SoapNet. I just taped the first one last night. I will say that 10 o'clock on Thursdays is a very crowded time at the moment. So hopefully in a couple weeks it won't be as crowded.
Well, also they'll be replaying it multiple times. I think it plays like Saturday afternoons and again on Sunday night.
That's great.
At least it does for the first week.
Mm-hmm. It probably will. SoapNet replays a lot of their stuff all over several times. Southland, I'm interested in it just because it's, what's his face? Ryan. Not Ryan, but you know who I'm talking about.
Ryan from the OC has become a cop.
Yes, thank you, Mackenzie.
Arisha Baraikis, she's one of my faves. She was on the show, I don't know if you remember, on Fox called American Embassy.
Vaguely.
And I loved her, and she was on Grey's Anatomy as one of Addison's old, she sees now that Anne has a new best friend called Naomi on a crappy show. And but I like her, and I read that she was in something, so I think that might be the show.
It might be. It's the one about the cop.
Maybe.
In L.A.?
Yeah. I was trying to think of what are they comparing it to CSI in L.A.?
Probably.
I think that's what they've been comparing. I was trying to think of what the show was that they've been comparing it to. I think it's CSI. I do have a question, though. When does the Leno 10 o'clock thing happen? Is that next season?
That won't start till the fall.
Next season. Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was happening in the spring for some reason, but anyway. Okay, that's it for me on Thursday.
Yeah, that's it for me on Thursday, too.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in Harper's Island.
Oh, I am interested in Harper's Island.
Oh, Chris Gorham's in that, right?
Especially since it's sort of set as, 13 episodes or whatever, as a completed product.
When does that start? I know you just said it. Sorry.
April 9th.
There are just so many shows I'm, like, tuning out. Yeah, I'm interested in that. I've been liking the promos, too, by the way, apropos of nothing. Anyway.
I saw the first, they sent out the original pilot in the spring or in the fall. So it had like Ryan Merriman still in it, and it didn't have Katie Cassidy in it, didn't have Chris Gorham in it. So I don't really know, but I liked what I saw.
Except that nobody that you saw is in it any longer.
Instead of the cast all different.
It's just my kind of show, so.
Yeah, I think it looks good. I'll check it out.
Okay.
Friday.
Is there anything new on Fridays?
Fridays.
That just makes my heart hurt.
Fridays, the only thing that's sort of new is Sarah Connor Chronicles and Dollhouse that just started. Yeah. But other than that, everything else on network side is the same. And then on cable, BBC America has a new show called Mistresses that starts actually February 20th, which is the day we're actually recording this. And then Stars has the second season of Head Case as of March 20th, followed by the new series Party Down.
Woo!
On the same night.
I'm very excited because you know I love Me by Rob.
Okay, can I just say something?
Yes.
Sorry.
You're allowed to say whatever you want.
Okay, I just feel like it's important to point out that while Rob was involved in the creation and will be involved in the show, Rob is not the showrunner of the show.
That's true. That's true.
Every time I hear it, I'm just like, okay, Rob is not as involved in the show as he is in everything else he's doing. So.
You are sassy today, my lady.
I'm not sassy. I keep, you know what it is? You just hit the button because I heard it 1,000 times and I'm always like, excuse me, don't be picking on John Enbaum. He's the one running the show.
No, you know, I like John Enbaum a whole lot too, so. I will give him credit, too. I love him a lot.
You just mentioned Rob Thomas one too many times.
It had nothing to do with her mentioning Rob Thomas. It was
in association with Party Down.
It was more John and Bob not getting the love.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like John Enbaum's getting the short stick here. Like, it's Rob's show. Okay, no, but John Enbaum is running the show. So
give him credit. Ladies and gentlemen, John Enbaum.
Correct. A little credit where credit's due, people.
Ray will kick your ass.
I'd be happier if Phil Klemmer was,
we're not in the same town.
I would be happier if Phil Klemmer was also writing on the show so that we could have some more Klembaum episodes, but that's okay. Anyway, sorry. Anybody who's not a fan of Veronica Mars is like, what the hell is she talking about?
Just let her go. Just let her go, guys.
All right, anyway.
We have got to get to prime topic forever, and we're not going to be able to cover our shows.
Any thoughts on Party Down?
Enrico Colantonio naked. The end.
I would rather not... anything he said about Party Down, because I have not seen any of it, so.
I haven't seen it either, but he told me that, so.
Well, I knew that from Kath's response when she was watching
a father figure naked, yeah.
A beloved father figure naked.
Oh, God. Yes,
that's unfortunately true.
All right. Go ahead, Rico.
I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
I've been hearing about it for a long time, since I have friends who are friends with Rob, and he's been talking about it forever. So.
And this is, they've got great people in it, too. So, it should be awesome.
Ryan Hansen! Woo! Anyway, okay.
I love him. Okay, let's move on. Wait, back up. Hold on. Is Ryan and Amy pregnant?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, well, Ryan's not pregnant, but Amy Hansen is pregnant. Indeed she is. That is who Kristen Bell was talking about on Greg Ferguson.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
Anywho.
Little trivia for you people out there.
And lastly, to wrap up the primetime preview, Saturdays on network side is pretty much still nothing. And over on cable, BBC America begins airing Ashes to Ashes on March 7th.
Follow up to Life on Mars.
Which is the follow up to the British version of Life on Mars.
Awesome. I don't watch TV on Saturdays, so. Okay.
We all need a break sometime.
Yeah.
All right, can we move on to prime time now?
Yes.
Not that I don't appreciate the preview, but we've been going for a long time, and we haven't talked about any of our shows.
It's amazing how many shows start up or are returning,
true.
Starting in March and April. It's a lot, actually. But
it's true. All right. Let's,
okay, guys, let's go.
Let's first, because we're going to talk about tonight's episode or the season finale of Psych, let's first start about The Amazing Race. We'll come back to Psych at the end.
Okay. All right.
Just quickly, Amory and I, The Amazing Race.
Okay, Amory and I, The Amazing Race.
I can't wait to hear this.
Okay, go.
The quickly or the...
Yeah.
It can be quick because I don't know. I don't even know the team's names at this point, so it can be
quick. We're going to basically just judge them by what they're wearing or how they're acting. Go.
Okay. I was happy with the people who got cut. Preston.
Me too.
And whatever the hell her name was. Jennifer.
Preston and the girlfriend. Right.
The whiners. That's what I call them.
Right.
I will be happy if next week the other whiners get cut because I can't handle that woman.
But the Hicks?
Yes.
Yeah,
and it has
too.
Nothing to do with them being Hicks.
Nothing like that. That's just what I'm calling them to remember them. Kind of like Michael's mnemonic devices. Baldy, Mole, Hicks. Got it.
You're sounding a little racist right now, but...
I'm not trying to. They called themselves the
or
Hicks.
Or maybe prejudice, not racist.
They called themselves the Hicks.
Okay.
And I don't hate them because of that. I hate them because they are annoying. Because they
true.
Whine. Because the woman with the crying all the time. God.
I can't handle that.
Anyway.
I can't handle, somebody on the board that I go to said something about how, something about giving her credit because those are hard to, whatever. And I was like, you know what? I would give her credit, except that you know that you apply for The Amazing Race. Get a little bit in shape.
Exactly.
The other people were having trouble getting up the hill, but they weren't having the trouble she was having, just doing anything. I'm like, okay. You know
that
you're going to be on The Amazing Race. That was hilarious.
Cheese flying everywhere. Everywhere.
The guys at the bottom of the hill laughing at them was probably the best part.
Brilliant.
I always love it when the natives laugh at the Amazing
Me too.
People.
I love that.
All right. So do you have a favorite team yet?
I don't have a favorite team, but I have a team that I think will come in first next week.
Who?
The brother and sister team.
Victor and whatever names. I would agree with that, probably. I can't make a bet because I probably would agree with those two coming
No bets
in.
Yet because we're only one episode in.
But... I actually do like Mike and Mel.
So do I. Oh, so much.
They're so funny.
They are funny.
Okay, that was it.
Okay. Amazing Race, done. End.
Let's move on to another one of my shows. I just wanted to bring up the L word quickly. Have you watched up till this week?
How many episodes in? Four?
I guess. This week was the club where they set up Helena's, the girl who likes Helena.
Right.
I don't know. First of all, Jenny Schechter is a loon. An absolute freaking loon.
She's a nutbag.
I love that she's Shane is getting to the end of her rope with her. She's just like, I just need to go outside and smoke. I need to get away from her. The whole turning Shane's bedroom into an office.
Oh my God, just turn it into an office. What a crazy, crazy, crazy person. Because she couldn't get rid of any of her stuff.
Exactly. And she's like, why are you keeping that? Anyway. And then the whole stealing Alice's Alice's play, not play, her screen. Oh my God. Stealing Alice's idea.
Right.
She's just crazy. And she's crazy that she's like, I didn't steal it. Really? Are you crazy?
Girl, you're nuts. You're crazy. You are crazy.
And anybody who can look
I can see why she killed you.
That's not a spoiler anymore. We know she did it. anybody who can make Alice look sane, you know something's wrong.
Right, exactly.
All right, moving on to Chuck.
Chuck
versus the suburbs.
Jason,
you're the one who wanted to talk about this one. Do you have something specific you wanted to say?
Not specifically, other than I thought it was a good episode. It, you know, there was a lot of fun had with sort of the moving in and as a couple type thing, and they had some good guest stars for the other residents of the cul-de-sac there. But I was wondering what you two think of since the previous episode got preempted. How that'll affect when that episode ends up airing?
I don't know. I think it might affect a little bit of continuity, because only in the sense that where Chuck and Sarah leave this one is pretty definitive. So like to backtrack to an episode before it might be a little bit off.
Right, where they were still flirty or whatever.
Right, like I have a feeling that we're going to hear a lot of people complaining about how it didn't make sense this next one that's coming up. They're going to say, oh, it doesn't make sense. I don't understand why this is happening. Or, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I think it's because they're not going to realize that they were flipped. I mean, I'm glad that they, not flipped, but you know what I mean? Like they just didn't switch them. Or they didn't push it, whatever. You know what I'm saying? But I'm glad that they didn't, because I like that it aired, like that the Valentine's one aired right after Valentine's Day. So,
like, because on like Brothers and Sisters this season, how they aired Thanksgiving 2 weeks after Thanksgiving. Yeah. So I like that they kept it with the holiday.
Yeah. And I'm okay with it. As long as it's on the DVDs in the correct order, I'm okay with
it.
Yeah. I thought it was a funny episode, too.
I thought it was good. Sometimes the Buy More stuff, though, doesn't always work for me. But I will say that this week, I thought it was really well done. With Emmett's freaking hairpiece, Tony Hale is just a genius. And that hairpiece, what is he calling me Elvis for? That was brilliant.
That was very funny.
And, oh, what was the one thing where he's like, something about the bathroom? Oh, my God. It was just so good. I don't even know what your affiliation is. Oh, God. It was so funny.
What does he mean?
Something about the bathroom. Oh, so good. But, no, I just thought it was a good show in general. I'm interested to see what happens now that they have a little bit of a swap. And, I don't know. They do use guest stars well, but I worry that, you know, they're just going to keep bringing in guest stars who are obviously the bad guy. And what do we do then? There's never going to be a good guest star.
They haven't always been the bad guy.
Oh, right. Your boyfriend, Bruce Boxleitner, was a good guy.
What's his name? Oh, my God. I'm blanking names right now. I want to say Chevy Chase, but he's coming up.
Right. He's coming up. Oh, what's his name? John Larroquette.
Thank you. He was a good guy.
There you go.
That just proves to you guys how scary it is that Amory thinks along the same lines as I do, that I said Chevy Chase and she understood who I was talking about. Anyway.
What I mean. And you said maybe three words that weren't actually a sentence. And in my head, I thought, I did know what you mean. Should I be frightened? Anyway, moving on.
Anyway, I thought it was a really good episode. I liked it. I think it's pretty standard, right, that they do the going to the suburbs thing and it being more frightening than...
It always has to be. They always... The show with a spy like that, because they have to do something like that. Give them a little fright about...
Right. How about... Let's talk about life before we talk about Lost, because we all know how we do about Lost.
Yes.
So life.
We do. Life. Charlie Cruz, please marry me. That's it.
Oh, Charlie.
Is Sarah Shahi starting to show? That was a lot of alliteration right there.
I'm glad you got it out. Tongue twister. So
I also pointed to myself when I said that. That was a lot of alliteration. You can just picture it in your head. I just liked her cute little haircut. And I mean, I know that you're not a huge fan, Ray, of the relationship with Tidwell.
Oh, I don't have a problem with it. Other people have a problem with it. That's what I've always said.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I kind of like it.
It started out really bad.
They've toned him down a lot. Like, yeah, in the beginning, he was very...
Oh, my God. Thank God he got a haircut.
Not just the haircut, but his behavior, too.
Yeah. But now it also provides lots of... it provides lots of kind of funny scenes for
Charlie.
For Charlie to, like, infer things or say things you know, without actually saying, you know, anything. Right. And it provides for some really good scenes. But mostly what I liked was Mrs. Garrett showing up as the mom.
The facts of life.
But he was the light.
Was?
And then she's like, but he did turn out to be a prick, didn't he? Or whatever. You know, you're like, oh my God, that's Mrs. Garrett. She's got a potty mouth.
And a Garrett.
But also that she turns out to be the mom of, you know, like this big bad
of Mr. You know, Friendly from Lost.
Yeah. Who's a former, you know, big bad biker that's now sort of, you know, supposedly gone straight, but that was pretty funny though, you know, like when she shows up with all his former biker gang members as the alibi for him. Well, they have a lot of fun with some guest stars on that too.
They do. They have fun with imagery too, like the bikers and the things like that.
Here's the thing. Wait, I forgot what I was going to ask.
About life?
No, that Ted had a daughter?
Yeah, I was a little confused about that too. Then I was thinking that it was just something that I didn't remember. Or I wasn't paying close enough attention to the Ted scenes to understand what was going on. I don't know.
I mean, to the point where I don't even think he really introduced, like, it didn't say, oh my God, it's my daughter on my doorstep. You were just kind of supposed to infer that it was her. I don't know.
Yeah, like I didn't understand if I missed something. That's what I was saying. I don't know anything about it either.
Anyway.
The one thing I was going to say is that I think we all know that the show's not going to make it. And, blessed by some miracle. You know, does NBC produce this show?
I don't know.
Because this would be a good show for them to move to USA. Let me just put that out there, NBC.
It would be a really good show to pair with any of their dramas, any of their cop dramas.
Exactly.
Well, it does sort of fall in their characters wanted.
Exactly. That was what I was going to say. Charlie's Cruise is a character. Can I just start that petition now?
Oh, my God. Let's get this going. Let's do this. Let's do this. Because think about it. They're losing Monk.
Exactly.
Put it with Psych. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Life
People who like Monk would love Life.
Yeah. The quirkiness and the... Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We are on to something. Ray, you are on to something.
A lot of people have been saying that Chuck should move to USA, which I wouldn't be opposed to either. But I think that Life is actually a perfect fit. So, NBC... Yeah. I know that you're out there listening to us.
Yeah. NBC, when you're listening, when you finally, you know, get this and you listen, please call.
You don't have to call. You can just do it. You don't have to even credit us. It's okay. We'll know.
No. I want the credit.
Amory, stop making unreasonable demands. I want them to do it. Anyway, I just wanted to say, what I was going to say before that was, before I got struck by my brilliant idea, was that... I'm going to miss the chemistry.
Right.
Like Sahi, I am so good with the names right now. And Damian Lewis, like just the way they play off each other is great. Like
just the looks that they give each other.
Yes,
just
exactly.
So...
Just like the Jason was saying earlier, the scene with the three of them and she and the, what's his face?
What's Tidwell.
Thank you. Tidwell.
You know what? I call him Finnerty.
She and Tidwell were like getting ideas, like, you know what I mean? Like they were having that moment where like they were brainstorming off of each other and like he's just standing there like looking at them with like a little look and she's like, what? And then just like their silent exchange of looks was great. And at that moment I was like, you know, that's what I'm going to miss most about this show, because those two are hilarious together.
They are really good.
And the whole, like, how long have you guys been together? Because, you know, after a few years, you start to stand apart. And he's like, that'll be sad.
Yeah, he, like, didn't even stop them. I thought that was great.
Well, like the guy, he says, I'm going to say about 2 years. And he's going to go, you're right.
We've been together about two years. Didn't even strike him as fun. Oh, I love it.
Not even that. Because he's like, well, you know, we're partners. She has commitment issues. Yeah. It was very funny. And I love how she's just looking at him like, you stop it. Anyway, so yes, I want USA. I want to move it to USA because I think it'd be perfect. And I don't want to lose those two together. So, all right, that was it. Lost.
Okay.
Well, first, I just want to say the best line of the night is Jeff Fahey with the So we're not going to Guam, are we?
Yeah, that was good.
That was such an awesome line.
Second to that comes, where did you learn, how can you read? And Ben's, my mother taught me. Like, duh, Jack. Like, of course I know how to read. Even though he was lying because his mom died, but whatever.
Well, the other line I liked in there, too, was when they go into the swinging pendulum room and he says, and Jack says to Ben, you know, did you know about this place? And he says, no. And he turns to the lady and is like, is he lying? And she says, I don't know, but probably.
I love it.
He lies about everything. He even lied about the reading. Even though he was making a joke, he was lying at the same time.
Right.
I think it's great. Ben is a liar. Okay.
So this show. This is an open letter to Lost. Dear Lost, if Ben succeeded in killing Penny without us seeing it...
Amory, I don't think that happened.
Better not have.
One, I don't think they would do that. Two, here's my real issue with the whole Ben being at the docks and everybody immediately... I think he was talking about Penny. Don't get me wrong.
Right. Right.
No doubt in my mind. When he said it, I said, oh no, Penny. And everybody in the room who was watching with me was like, oh my God, what?
Right.
So like they immediately agreed that that was what it could be. But my problem is, and it's going to be a problem I have with the show if it turns out to be true, that Desmond
sold to the island.
If Desmond sailed to L.A., it doesn't make any sense to me, okay? There was not enough time for him to sail his frickin' sailboat from England to L.A. in the amount of time between when we saw that he found out and the amount of time that he got there.
This
just
is
didn't
true.
Happen. So, I will
so
have
there
serious...
were different docks. They weren't the docks that Desmond's fast, super fast motion boat was at.
It's very possible that, one, the show is going to try to pretend like, yeah, he did that. Two, I think that it's very possible Ben would think that he'd sailed there, you know what I mean, and would go to the docks, whatever.
Right.
I don't know what the deal is with that. I wish somebody had just freaking asked Ben, because I was yelling at the screen, ask him where he got his fucking scratches from.
Yeah, like, but nobody even, they were just like, whatever, Ben's all beat up. Unless, because you know how they had to kind of proxy for people? That was part of his plan, too, and he wanted to be beat up like Locke was, you know, immobilized or whatever. Like, he wanted to be damaged like Locke was damaged.
I don't know. My thing about it is that he was very focused on getting to the airport, blah, blah, blah. Like, it seemed like he knew the details of how they had to get back to the island already.
Right.
Right? That he understood why he had to get everybody together. Two, he was very focused on getting to the airport, whatever, getting everybody, blah, 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 until... Sorry, I got focused. Until he saw Desmond, and then all of a sudden he's like, I got to go do something. Can you handle that? So that was why I thought it was Penny. On the other hand, maybe he's partly involved with one of the reasons the others are there, like Kate or
they were all really sketchy about how they knew about it. Like,
right.
Like, I think, you know, the fact that Hurley had the guitar, I think that he heard it from Charlie in a dream or whatever. But he was very sketchy about it, so I don't know.
Jody agrees with you on that, by the way. But yeah.
Hey, Jody.
It's possible that Ben was somehow involved in a altercation with one of them, and that's how, whatever. I don't know.
Right.
All I'm saying is that I'm pretty sure that he went after Penny. Whether he actually succeeded with anything.
Not that I just had. Well, why was Saeed arrested?
He was wanted in Guam. Well, he doesn't have to be going to Guam. He could be on his way to someplace else. Like,
and they get on the Guam flight?
Sure.
Do you know many places that you travel through Guam to get places?
Yeah, actually, a lot of places, if you're traveling that direction, like if you were going to Iraq and you were traveling from L.A., you have a stopover in Guam or whatever, because it's one of the bigger locations.
Right.
But I think somebody had to arrange that. Like, I think either Sun went to Widmore and said, you know what I mean, like gave the information about Saeed so that they could be arrested and they could arrange for him to be on that flight. Like, I think somebody had to turn him in, not turn him in, like physically walk him in and turn him in. But I think somebody had to arrange for him to be found is
right.
What I'm going to say, because they had to arrange for him to be on that exact flight. So I'm not, I think that his being on that flight is not a coincidence. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And okay, so we have two very significant new characters that are on the flight with them.
Well, yeah, but that also meshes up with the, you know, Kate was the...
Right,
you know,
Kate was the handcuffed one, so they recreated
so
that.
They've got that going for it, too. The other thing I really liked in the episode was Hurley being adamant about buying house medding because he wasn't sure what was going to happen to the plane.
Right. You know, making sure that no one else was damaged or lost or whatever. Damaged? What?
That's a different show, Amory.
And even, I thought it was great, like, that, you know, in the pilot, or not in the pilot, but the first time we saw Jack having trouble with getting his dad on the plane, like, the box, like, the scene where he has to talk to the guy at the counter about, you know, it's a coffin, or I'm taking a coffin, like, it was kind of recreated for Jack, so.
Right. Even the guy saying something to him when he passed him.
Right.
That was what.
And that guy's going to figure prominently. I mean, like, the guys that they specifically had in their first class cabin or whatever, like Ilana is her name. I know that just because of casting sides, but she, I mean, they're going to, they have to serve some greater purpose as a character.
I'm sure they do. The Here's new a question Marshall. I have for you guys. Do you think the plane crashed?
See, I don't know. How can they just disappear off the plane?
Well, I would say that there was a flash at the same time that something happened, because we do see the white flash that we usually,
right.
associate with the time flashes. However, my problem with that is that why wouldn't the plane go with them? Because like when the guys were in the boat went with them. You know what I'm saying? Like they were still touching the plane.
Right.
So it doesn't match the rules of the time flashing unless something happened to the plane and the flash happened at the exact same time. So I still think the plane crashed. And we see the Ajira water bottle in the other boat.
Right.
So and I plus, think
if they just
happened, but...
flashed out, like, the fact that Frank was there, that to me means that, like, he was there for a purpose and he's going to flash out with them.
Can you imagine being the co-pilot?
Yeah, who's flying the plane?
There are co-pilots, but I don't think...
Co-pilot's like, yo, dude, where'd he go?
I just thought it was a really solid episode, but my one concern is that it raised too many more questions.
See, I don't agree with that. This is my thing. We've been hearing a lot. We've been hearing a lot of answers and things. And I think that they have to set up some further episodes because we still have another whole season to go. So
it's true.
I don't have a problem with the questions. And I guess part of it for me is in season one, it would bug me. Or season two, it would bug me because it always felt like we never got the answers. Like it was going to be, we didn't know how long it was going to be before we got the answers. In this case, I'm like, it's okay. I at least know that we only have one more season left. So it's not like I'm going to have to wait forever to get those answers. So.
Where's Aaron?
Mona's theory is that Aaron is with Son's mother with Son's daughter.
That's what I thought, too. Because, I mean, it would just be too big of a turn for her to suddenly go back to Claire's mom.
Yeah, but what did she, like, pack him on a plane and send him to...
Yeah.
By himself? Across the...
You can send him with people. Kids fly by themselves. He is pretty young to be doing it, but they do it. Possibly give, like, my thing is that I think Son made some
arrangements.
Well,
I'm just checking out
because
I thought maybe, you know, he went on he got somewhere the same way the Desmond, you know, boat was really fast.
Oh, yeah, maybe he was on the super speed.
It's like he took.
Kate really quickly flew him there and then flew back and got on a different plane. No. That's why she was so exhausted and dead on Jack's bed. No, I think that, I don't know. I don't know for sure, but I think it was the whole Son saying the comment about I have a new playmate
for you.
And I think that in a way I can understand how Son and Kate had come up with that as an alternative plan anyway. Like right. When Son sent her to the lawyers, like she probably said, you know, if it doesn't work out, I'll get you out. And, you know, you can come live with
her. She has the money now or whatever. I mean, they all have the money, but she probably has the means to get her out.
She has the means, because that was one of my things where I was like, how is Kate just getting on a plane? Kate is on probation. Like, she can't just, like, but as Jody pointed out to me, you know, Kate's people have, if Son or Widmore, whoever convinced her to go, probably got her some documents to get her on the plane. So,
right.
I'm okay with that as a theory.
Wow. I could go on about Lost Forever, and I'm very excited. I'm very, very, very excited to see what happens next.
I am too.
Oh, okay. One more thing I do want to say. Was it me, I believe, yes, who said that I think that they are stuck in time, in a different time, in a time that has Dharma people in it?
You were right.
I think it was me. And then Jin shows up. Okay, and I do have a problem with the way they filmed that, because I knew it was him before we looked at him.
Because like,
you
hair?
Can tell he has curly hair. But
I was trying to remember, though, if the... Sorry.
No, you're good.
I was trying to remember if Ben's father, who was the person we originally knew, drove that bus, or one of
Roger?
Them, anyway.
Yeah, he did.
He had curly hair? I was trying to remember that, is why I was like, who could that be, for sure? I mean,
I think it could have just been me thinking, oh my god, my theory's coming true, there really are in Dharma time. And I was like, it has to be somebody I know, and then I saw the hair, and I thought it was Jin, and then it was, and then it was exciting.
Okay. I'm glad it was exciting for you.
Thank you.
All right, any more thoughts on Lost?
I could go on for days, but that's probably not a good idea.
Yeah, let's not. Jason?
The super duper sized podcast.
Yeah.
We're already approaching that. All right, Bones. Jason wanted to talk about Bones.
Not that I go to like lots of, Comic-Con or these types of events, but they had one on, a fantasy type movie Comic-Con type thing as part of the Bones episode. And on TV, those types of events always come off looking so fake. Well, I like the, overall, I mean, I like most Bones episodes, save mm-hmm. last week's or the last one where he was talking to dead people. But every time you see a show that has some sort of, they go to a comic convention or, some sort of fantasy convention or some such thing, it always comes off looking, very small and very fake. I mean,
okay, so I've been to
even the costuming and everything looked, looked terrible.
I've been to a lot of these conventions now, uh-huh. Nerd Alert, whatever you want to call it. And I have to agree, like, there are a lot more, and I want to say this, no offense to the people who are like, that dress up in costumes or whatever, there are a lot more normally dressed, normal people there.
Right.
And I guess I understand that they wanted to prove that all these people were really interested in the sword, so that's why they focused on those people. But I agree. I agree that it was a little less real than they actually are.
I think they face two problems. One, they can't really do, like, the size. Like, even when it's a smaller con, like, they still can't replicate the look of the size of a convention. You know what I mean?
I call it the con.
And the other thing is, like what you say, like, I think they're using people dressed not only to show, like, the people would be interested in the sword, but I think that they kind of, like, overcompensate because they're trying to try to show that a little. Like, they're trying to show the convention has people who dress up. And when really when you're at the convention, the majority of the people you see are dressed not necessarily, quote unquote, normal. Like, they have, like... And I don't mean it like that, but I mean they're not wearing a costume. They might be wearing, small touches that make them look, like, kind of gothy. Like, maybe, like, they're wearing a miniskirt with, fishnet pants. I mean, not fishnet pants.
Pants. Fishnet
pants. A skirt with, like, fishnet stockings, but they have, like, a normal t-shirt on. So, like, what you would see of them on the screen it would be normal. Do you know what I'm saying? Like... Or, like, they have – people are wearing jeans and a t-shirt, and their t-shirt is the only thing that would signal them out as, like, a geek or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, they
or
just
like a brown coat, like us in our in a Firefly shirt or something.
Yeah, exactly. They should have done something like that. They think they'd include that since it's both Fox and it's Angel.
Well, that's the thing is partly they can't use some things that would make it – they have to, like, fake everything so that – So, I mean, that's one reason it seems fake is because a lot of the things they're talking about seem,
Right, like they can't use actual things because they'd have to get
They've made them up for the – but then they have something good like Sweets at the auction in his, Star Trek getup.
When Parada says, When Bones like, I wonder where he got that outfit in such short notice.
Where he got that disguise on short notice?
Pretty sure it was in his closet. Like that was amazing.
But yet, you know, you see something like that, but then everybody else is walking around just with like, you know, some fake sword or as somebody I was on Twitter said it looked more like a Renaissance fair than it like sort of a fantasy sci-fi convention. But part of it is I still think that they could make it look sort of you give some sort of overall, you know, like they do an overall shot of like, you know, Washington, D.C. or something like that or location shots to make you think that you're actually someplace. They just sort of go in. They don't give you anything that makes this event seem like it's, I mean, they show you this big building with a sign on it to give you like a location, but then there's just like a, you know, they only show you like a little bit. It just seems so small compared to what it's supposed to come off as.
You'd think they'd be able to get stock footage that the news always takes footage from those things that they can use. Yeah. That's free for them to use. It's news.
Or use things that they have the rights to or whatever at those type of things. Like you were saying, like a Firefly or right. different things like that or some such stuff.
But, I loved where that guy was like, I even watched Fringe.
I almost Twittered it because I was like, oh, look, a shout out for Fringe. And then I'm like, wait, it's Fox. Of course there's a shout out for Fringe.
But it was like a negative shout out.
I know.
It was sort of like a backhanded shout out.
I watched all these things. Yeah, Fringe. And I even watched Fringe too. Oh, fun. Oh, funny.
Okay, and Marisa Coughlin. Like,
I love Star Trek and Star Wars and this and that. And I even watch Fringe.
My thing is that, okay, so moving aside from the geekery or whatever, I love Marisa Coughlin. She's like one of my favorite people to see that I've ever talked to, that I know. Like, I love her. Mm-hmm. But I hate her character because I'm such a Bones Booth shipper.
I liked her, though, in this episode. I thought she was good. It's like she was a proxy for them to...
I don't dislike her.
She had a couple of good lines, you know, like you really don't understand, do you? You know?
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I don't. You don't understand why
they're using her kind of as a way for them to realize it. But I don't know. I feel bad because I don't like.
Yeah, but I don't think even still they're going to realize it. Like Bones is not Bones. Booth was high, basically. That's why he said it.
And I love that. He was like, and her beautiful hair and like all that stuff.
For a second there, I thought he was on the speakerphone, but then I realized he wasn't. But even still, like Booth. See, look, I keep mixing up the names. Even still, Bones still was like, no, I don't. Like, I'm not getting it. So I don't know that it was really used to make, it was more, I think, used to make the audience aware that they're further along than they were before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or at least that Booth is further along than he was before. I don't know. It's going to take him making a move on Bones for her to even realize it, I think.
I mean, he said in so many interviews that as far as he's concerned, they are together. It's just a matter of getting them to realize it.
Right.
Like, he doesn't think there's anybody else for Booth but Bones. Oh, my God. When Sweets was like, can I call you Bones? And she's like, don't call me Bones. All right. Bones. Oh, my God. That was so good.
Oh, Sweet. I love
it. I also like when Sweets turned into the guy from Lie to Me, you know, where he's like, oh, you know, your face did this and your throat did this. You're totally lying, you know.
If he'd said, this is how I know.
Yeah, I watched Cal Bison on the Fox show Lie to Me.
I studied under Dr. Lightman.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I took a course.
Oh, funny. All right.
So we have one more thing to talk about?
Yep. Psych. So first, before we talk about the finale. Psych! Before we talk about the finale, I just want to rewind a second to last week's episode that I didn't get to talk about.
Okay.
The Friday the 13th homage. Which is so funny. What?
So how great was that?
It was perfect. It was lovely. I loved it. And all I meant...
That's so
It was perfect. It was great.
Yeah.
Lovely. No, what I was going to say was somebody, I said something about it being an homage to Friday the 13th and that horror fans would love it. And she was like, oh, it's not supposed to be scary. And I'm like, no. Like, she hadn't seen it yet, so she was worried that it was going to be scary. I'm like, it's not that it's scary. It's that you have to understand, if you watch Friday the 13th and you know the story of Friday the 13th, you'll appreciate it even more. You can appreciate it without knowing it, but you'll appreciate it even more because it mirrors the story of Friday the 13th. So that was why it was so great.
When I said in a post today about the show, about the guest cast, and how they use their guest actors, like, they do it so well. Mackenzie Astin, they have such good, like, recognizable faces that are still, like, I don't know. I just love how they do it.
I would agree.
Mackenzie Astin, I love him. I love him. I love him. What I can't say it enough.
You love him.
Okay, also, The Mighty Ducks, top five movies of all time. And there goes Fulton Reed showing up. Fulton Reed. I was expecting the Fulton Reed slap shot. Love him.
That would have been great.
Would have been awesome, because that's the kind of show that would do it. They would throw something like that in there. And Justine Bateman, she showed up in that week, in that episode, right?
She did. She was with Lassiter. The one
did not see that coming.
I had heard about it, I guess, so I saw it coming. But the one thing I would say is that I did find that section of the episode to be a little weak until I had rewatched it a couple of times, or just one more time, because it was so different, I guess, from the rest of the episode. I think that was why. Like, it was such a shock when I was watching it the first time. But once I knew it was going to happen, I was more adjusted to it the second time, and I liked what happened in those scenes. But anyway. All right, so now, moving on to this week, the ever-so-great, ever-so-awesome finale.
I can't say enough about how much I like this episode.
It's pretty darn amazing. Okay, first of all, we're talking about this after it airs, so spoiler, if you haven't watched it yet, stop listening now. How fucking awesome is Ally Sheedy showing up on this show?
I was blown away. Like, I said this in my post today. They kept saying, like, mystery guest, and all their descriptions say mystery guest. And then you're like, how are they going to do that? How are they not going to spoil it? How is it not going to be out there? And they didn't put her in the titles like Lost does. They put the person that's supposed to be a shock in the titles. I had no idea. I was so excited. I was so excited.
It's kind of ridiculous how excited I was. And to understand, if you were like, who cares about Ally Sheedy? She's like 80s movie, like,
yeah,
everywhere. You know what I mean? So, like, but to show up in a show that has, really, they're just are all about the 80s. To have her show up is going to be so great.
It ties in with, you know, how he goes and, you know, the high school reunion show.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Where that show was totally all about the 80s and, you know, and he's you know, Judd Nelson, even, you know, starts that when he calls her up, you know, and stuff like that. And so it just you know, it just really worked out well.
I wonder if she picked up on the fact that it was going to be someone like Ally Sheedy. But I had no idea either.
I mean, I recognized her immediately. I was like, oh my God, that's so perfect. But
me too. Like, as soon as you were like, oh my God. But, oh, it was just so good. And can we talk about that scene between Jules and Sean?
Oh my God. Oh my God. I literally was in my office this morning because I was rewatching it. I was crying, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You have just absolutely terrible timing.
And she's like, what did he say after that? Jules, wait, I'm sorry. And you know, you're expecting him to, like, apologize for what's happening right that moment. Instead, he's apologizing for the earlier, I'm sorry, I yelled at you earlier.
I love, so, like, other shows would have him call Rachel Lee Cook, who's outside waiting for him,
right,
and say, I'm sorry, the love of my life just told me she loves me too. But instead, they don't do that. They don't do the predictable thing, and it's just awesome.
And this
but
is
they also played with it really well, though, when he walks out the door and she runs. You know, it looks like you just got punched in the gut and weren't able to breathe for a little bit, you know, and it kind of was.
No, they did it really well, and James Rhodey in those scenes is amazing. I will say this too.
He got to do his drama and comedy and be just totally amazing in this episode.
Exactly. I will say that I do not always buy Sean and Juliet. Like, I want Sean and Juliet to end up together, but I don't always feel like there's, like, a lot of chemistry there.
Mm-hmm. And even though they're together in real life.
Yeah, like I think they're but see, like in this scene right here, I totally saw why they're together in real life. Like I saw that moment come through, and so I realized that I think that they're doing it purposely. Like they downplay it. They don't, and not just them. Like the writers don't put them in a situation very often that we see that really. You know what I mean? We only see it every once in a while. I think the other scene that I really liked this season was from the not this half of the season, but the other half. From the roller derby episode where, like, they're at the very end when they're skating next to each other and he's trying to hold her hand. I saw it right there in that moment, too. But I do not often, like, think to myself consistently, God, I wish John and Juliet were together. Could you just get them together and get that over with? Like, I don't think that a lot because – and I think you think that about couples that are overcompensating and constantly trying to make that chemistry happen between them. Does that make sense? I don't know how to explain what I mean. Maybe they don't have to do it because they're together in real life. I don't know. Right. But in that scene, I was like, oh my God, that's why those two are together in real life. Because you can really see it.
I know. I'm the same way. I was just like so excited from that show.
Plus, I want to say that I really love that the season finale, if you like just took out all the rest of the season premiere and the season finale make a lot of sense together. Because you know, like it's a good bookend to how the season started with his mother showing up in town. And even him saying, you don't call?
Right.
Like, that was what he said. You know what I mean? Like, both of those things together I thought were really well. Like, they really did that really well. And
yeah, she's like, I didn't just fly in. I was at a conference in Ventura. And he's like, that would have been good to know.
So, yeah, like, that whole thing, I think, is done really well. And we haven't seen a lot of the mother, but there's been just enough at that beginning that I actually cared about what was happening with the mom. And I really cared about both from the Sean angle and the why do I always forget his father's name?
Henry.
Thank you. Henry. Both from the you know what I mean? From both of them I was really feeling it for both of them. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
When
it's
Sean
really good.
Suggested
what?
Well, like with Sean with telling Gus how he tries to lighten the mood at the crime scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gus breaks out the Michael Jackson and the props with the airplane, like that was fantastic. Dula Hill, awesome.
And I think
yeah,
it actually
they're like they're totally out of – they're just like totally out of the blue. They don't even – they don't mesh with anything that's happening. It just
– yeah,
just
like Sean does it and he totally – it's like pop culture related to something that somebody said. But then there's Gus who's just like, who am I?
It's just like – yeah, whatever first thing that comes to his head – you know, into his head, he's like, look,
I think
I'm,
that was good. Like it was a
I'm
good...
King Kong.
It shows that like that is Sean's role in their relationship. That was what I liked about it. Like it kind of –
well, I also –
a meta commentary, refuting the comments about why it's not like, even though they're dealing with like murders and things like that, it is always Sean trying to lighten what's happening. Anyway,
I like that. I like that part where he's like, you know, Sean, you know, quit. You know, he's like, I can't. You know, I can't. He goes, this is how I work. If I can't, you know, I lighten the, you know, lighten the load of the situation and stuff like that. And he's like, nobody's laughing. He's like, they are on the inside. You know.
Yeah.
Even in the explanation of that he needs Gus to keep it light and that he's got to stay in this because if he tries to get too serious that he won't be able to, you know, he won't be able to do his thing and figure it out. And he's even funny, you know. But yeah, it was the whole episode just from start to finish, you know. The whole eating breakfast for lunch at the beginning and the banter with the waitress. And mm-hmm. and then Gus knowing what it was that he did while he was gone and all that. It was just all the way through with the
so good.
Yeah, the Goodwill Hunting both at the beginning and the end of the episode. And even the mom with the at the end was he's like, Can I do anything for you? And she's like, well, you already got me kidnapped by a serial killer, you know? What else? And the dad's just like, I'm out.
it's funny. All right. Are we done with primetime?
I'm done with primetime. And as a nice way to end our spring preview and how we talked about Castle and how we're looking forward to it, if anyone has questions for Nathan Fillion,
what?
Send them my way.
I hate you. We are no longer talking.
I just literally got a message to my phone that says, excuse me, Nathan Fillion's available. Do you want to talk to him? I'm going to talk to him. I will talk to him after this goes out. So your homework assignment, folks, So get me questions.
I hate you, Amory.
I know.
Why the hell do I not have a contact at ABC? Anyway.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Everybody else can talk to my boyfriend except for me.
To be fair, I don't know how I got my contact at ABC. It just suddenly appeared.
Whatever. That's what they all say.
Nathan Fillion, Nathan Fillion, Nathan Fillion.
Shut up.
What if I think? What if I ask him to sing to me?
Oh, I'm so devastated right now. What are we talking about? She broke my heart.
Nathan
people?
Fillion.
Yes, we're talking about Nathan Fillion.
Ugh, you're broken my heart.
I think we were done. I think we were done. And that's what happened.
Well, just one other thing on the spring preview. If anybody wants to see the schedule on a printed out, one-page printable schedule, you can get that over at tvholic.com. Just click on the graphic in the right-hand sidebar, and it'll tell you how you can get one.
There you go. Okay. Anybody who wants to call in and answer Amory's homework that I can't speak about anymore, you can do that at 213-985-3176. What is our topic for next week? Besides hating on Amory. My nemesis.
I am your nemesis, effective immediately.
You are. I am not speaking to you any longer. I'm going to have to speak through Jason from now on.
Oh, God.
Jason, are you looking it up?
Yeah, I'm trying to look.
All right, in the meantime, while Jason's looking that up, our music, as always, is provided by iodapromonet.com. Song is TV Party by the Asylum Street Spankers from their Mercurial title put out by Yellow Dog Records.
What we sort of have listed right now is talking about shows that incorporate some sort of sci-fi element into them and whether we'll see more or less of them in the future. That was a topic submitted by listener Scott Fields.
There you go. Scott, we will be talking about your topic next week. So if you'd like to chime in, 213-985-3176. You did chime in, by the way, on your email. But if you'd like to chime in a little more.
Or if anybody else has any other topics for future episodes, you can chime in as well.
Or if you'd like to tell Amory how much you hate her as well. Yeah. That too.
End of my way, folks.
You can also go to our website at tvtimes3.com, spell it all out, and leave a comment or use our email address to email us or our email comment form, whatever of those things.
Send us an email.
Or you know what you could do? You could go to iTunes and leave a comment as well.
Yeah, seriously. We need more.
We always need more.
Mm-hmm.
The three that are there are lonely. They need company.
Okay. Are we done?
All right. We're done.
Amory, I need at least the weekend to recover from hating you.
All right, we'll talk to you until next week then.
Oh, wait. I have to say, before I hang up, Amory, thank you for my card and my drink. I wanted to let everybody know that Amory has paid off her debt to me.
I have? I'm sorry it was so late. I bought it in New York before your birthday.
That's okay. Amory sent me a birthday card, and inside was a drink. Alas, not exactly the type of drink I like, as
with
in I couldn't really
in
drink it.
Here's that drink that I owe you.
Wasn't exactly the type of drink I think we were promising each other, but I'll take it.
Nice.
So all debts are paid. Except for now, she has accumulated another debt because she's talking to my boyfriend and I'm not. All right.
All right.
Everybody, adios.
Adios.
Goodbye.
And I want to eat. Crap. Oh, okay. 3, 4.
Well, I hope that's not true.
What? And I want to eat. Oh, I want to eat crap. Then watch TV and have a couple of brews.